Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to go to a number of verses in the Bible tonight, but we have a very simple subject tonight, and trust that will be a challenge to us. A very simple subject. Why you should come to prayer meeting. I guess that's about as simple as you can get. Why you should come to prayer meeting. Now, from a historical standpoint, in recent times, that prayer meeting has become a vital part of churches. And whenever there has been revival, the moving of God in an area in a church, it's usually preceded by, almost always, I should say always preceded by prayer. And then one of the number one results of revival is prayer. And in many of the great revivals, people would come to church. The church doors would never close because people desired to be in the presence of the Lord and desire to pray. And of course, you know, I didn't grow up in a Bible preaching church. We didn't have prayer meeting. That's not something that you did. I mean, if we had a 5-second prayer before we ate a meal, that would have been a rarity. And I remember we did have prayer at Christmas and Easter when we were at our grandpa's house. And we always had prayer then. It was always the same prayer, but it was good to have prayer. But I didn't know how to pray. And but when you get saved, you want to learn to pray and you want to pray. Why should you come to prayer meeting? And we'll get to the main point at point number 4. But it's all in all of us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And of course, we put this in the context of 1 Timothy 3:15, which gives us a theme. The purpose of the book of Timothy is in itself. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so the whole book of Timothy was written to set in order the things in the church. And of course, in the Bible, the local church, the New Testament church, that is the church that it's talking about. You can't set in order these things and some peripheral universal church. Not talking about such a thing. It's talking about the New Testament church. That's the church of the living God. And so the first thing he sets in order, what's the first thing he sets in order? Prayer. And it's not talking about, it's talking about the church and the importance of prayer. And the first thing that he sets in order is the whole issue of prayer. Now, if you don't think that's important, You didn't read what it just said, right? The first thing, the priority, the number one thing that be set in order is prayer in the New Testament church. And so the Bible makes it very clear. Obviously, everybody should pray, and everybody should have their place of prayer at home, and they should have individual prayer, and you ought to have family prayer. But the church, one of the first priorities of the church is to be a praying church. God said so. God said so. You know, you just think about it. How is it that prayer meeting has almost become a rarity? When the Bible says, first of all, you know what I'm saying? Now, we give a lot of reasons for that. But if you look at the Bible, God says, boy, this is a number one priority of a church, that they put in its proper place prayer. Okay? So, the first reason why you should come to prayer meeting is the command of God to make prayer in the church a priority. Okay? Now, let's go simply to the next answer of why you should come to church and prayer. Because the power of prayer in the unity of the believers. The power of prayer in the unity of believers. You know, the Bible speaks many different places about the power of unity. And a couple of my favorite verses, of course, we could go right to Matthew chapter 16. And we recognize the context of this and all of that, but it still is making a very clear point. Matthew chapter 16. And it says, why can't I see it? Where two or three, how come I can't see it? 18:20. I'm sorry, 18:20, that's why. I'm in the wrong chapter. Better get a new preacher. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, of course, put it in the context. It's talking about, yes, two or three are gathered together, but it's talking about the context of a church. And you know what? You don't have to have a million people to have a church. You know, I remember Dr. Seholm used to say, if somehow somebody moves to a place where there isn't a church, well, the first thing they ought to do is they ought to decide that they're going to start a church in that place. You know what I mean? Going to start a church there, and they're going to call a preacher to come and help them start a church. And they're going to have a church with the right doctrine, and even though it's small, and they're going to make the sacrifices to make a church go, and they're going to tithe, and they're going to be soul winners, and they're going to meet every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, it's going to be a church. But here it's talking about where two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst of them. This is talking about the importance of unity. Unity in prayer. And let me show you a couple of verses in the Bible that emphasize the importance of unity in prayer. And Leviticus chapter 26. Here's a great verse. Now, one of the principles of unity is agreement. A unity in purpose, unity in need, unity in brokenness, unity in urgency. But Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8, it says, verse 7, "And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." Now notice the issue. You know, five people are going to chase 100, but 100 are going to chase 10,000. And what is it? It's saying, that the unity of God's people is a huge issue. We'll get to that next point as well. But a unity in prayer. You know, one of the great things is if people really come to church on Wednesday night for the right reason, you have a desperate need and you have an urgent prayer, how many people do you want praying for? Two? Everyone. Right? Everyone. Now, this is what a church is really about. A church is about selflessness. A church is about uniting together to serve God. Now, if you have a, let's just say you had a sister that was dying, and they weren't saved, and they were in desperate physical condition, they were going to die without the Lord, how badly would you want people to pray for? Huh? How badly would you want them really to pray? Or you want them after praying to just leave, get up, you know, before prayer and say, "Well, I got other things to do." No, you want, you know, that's what prayer means about. If you're Christian people, you're not here for yourself. You're here for others. You're here, amen? You're here for others. You aren't sitting there on the chair, you know, just being bored to death. You're here because you're a member of this church and you love God and you're joined to these people here and you have a common purpose. And if there's anybody you can share a prayer request you ought to be able to share it with them, and they ought to share that burden with you. That's what church is. And that's how we ought to go to our prayer groups. Amen. That's how we shouldn't go to our prayer groups and, you know, chit chat and have this talk about this and this talk about this and laugh and joke and all of that. No, man, we got serious business to do. Amen? You know, souls are at stake. You know, that's because, you know, the power of unity. And God says it. And it's not a matter of just having 100 people pray for that. You understand what I'm saying? It's 100 people united. Do you know what unity means? You know how hard it is to get two people to agree to anything nowadays? You get what I mean? You get how hard it is to get two people, even husband and wife, agree to something. But when you get a church of people of that will unite together in Christ's power to pray, I tell you what, that's real power. And by the way, let me put it this way. One of the hardest things about being a pastor of a church is that some people are on the way up, and that's rejoicing. And some people are on the way down, and that's a burden. And some people are stuck at the bottom. And when you have an urgent prayer request, everybody needs to be right with God. Everybody needs to be right with God. The third principle, and this is parallel to that, why you should be at prayer meeting and pray, is because we need the faith of others. We need the faith of others. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. And of course, we have the story here of this man who was had this palsy. And he couldn't get around. He couldn't walk. He had to be carried to Jesus. And his friends found out that Jesus was in town. And they said, okay, we know where he's staying. We're going. And they took his friend. The Bible says he was borne by four. You know, it was kind of like a stretcher. And so he had four friends. I think that's where it says four. And wouldn't it be great? He had four friends. And they got to where Jesus was, and there were so many people there, they couldn't bring the guy in the house. And they said, well, we're not going to be stopped by that. We got an idea. And, of course, so most of the houses had flat roofs. And they knew where the living room was, where Jesus was. And they said, okay, we're going to take him up there, and we're going to get us some ropes. And first thing we're going to, you know, take the tile off the roof, and we're going to get right over where Jesus is, and we'll let him down right in front of Jesus. He'll be sure to get his attention. And so the Bible says that verse 4, and when they could not come nigh him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw his faith, got your Bible? Is that what it says? No. When Jesus saw their faith. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, you come to pray because we need the faith of others. We need the faith of others. Do you feel like you always have enough faith? You know, I remember Mrs. I don't even know her name, but Yoli, I don't even know their last name. What's their last name? Ola. Yoli Ola. Her mom, she's a godly Christian. And she really is a godly Christian. And her husband was a great godly man. And her husband was a member of a Baptist church, but he wasn't saved. And he went to a revival meeting in another town, and he got saved. And he came back revived. And I won't tell the whole story, but he led scores of people in his own church to the Lord. And lived for the Lord. He was a carpenter. And he took his Bible with him every day. And his pages were black. Because almost black, brown, dirty. Because he'd take his Bible wherever he's working. He would set it down. And then while he was working, he'd look at it. And then he'd be thinking about it and praying over it. That's how he studied the Bible. He was a great man of God. Anyway, he died a few years ago, but his wife is still alive. And all of her children, most all of her children are serving the Lord, part of the churches in Hungary. But One time we were just talking to her, and she says, well, she says, you know, new believers, they need to hear someone pray that knows how to pray. How else are they going to learn? They need to be hearing the prayers of people who got faith. And I thought, that's a great truth, isn't it? You know, because we need the faith of others. We need the faith of others, don't we? And that's why we share our burdens, and that's why we pray together. Because we need the faith of others. And you know what? If you've been saved a few years, you ought to have more faith than a brand new believer. Amen? You ought to have enough faith. And this ought to be a place of faith. The Bible, what does it say about faith? How important is faith when we pray? Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, is impossible to please God. Jesus said to the man whose son was a lunatic, he said, you know, help me. And the Lord said, if thou believest, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he said, I believe, Lord. Help thou my unbelief. Isn't it great to be in a prayer group and you hear somebody pray and say, oh man, I'm glad they got faith. And doesn't that increase your faith? Yeah. Yeah. Why you got to come to prayer meeting? Because of the faith of others. The faith of others. And the last answer is very profound. You'll laugh. Why should you come to prayer meeting? Because God answers prayer. Because God answers prayer. These are familiar verses, but let's look at them. Just because we need to look at them. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, you know what? It kind of looks like a promise to me. Doesn't it look like that to you? And you know what? I mean, all the words of the Bible are God's word, but I mean, I got a red letter edition. You know what? Jesus said it. Amen? He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that doesn't mean using Jesus' name for something foolish or something selfish, but something that's according to his will. You see, because we have a mediator between us and God, the man Christ Jesus. Amen? We can go directly to God through the Lord Jesus. You know, I guess we don't really get it, do we? We can go right to God, the creator of the universe, and bring our petitions before him. John chapter 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, here it tells us the importance of living an obedient life. And, you know, that is true. Obedience to God is certainly an important part of praying the right kind of prayers. And having our prayers answered. Why should we come to prayer meeting? Because God answers prayer. Do you believe that? Now the question is, when we have prayer, are you really expecting God to answer? Now I'm not talking about drumming it up. I mean, I'm talking about calculating, is this prayer based on the truth of God's word? Am I in obedience to the Lord? Am I asking according to his will? Are we really taking God at his word? We really believe that God can answer prayer. I heard an illustration at the conference yesterday, and I thought it was very appropriate. They asked this preacher, they said, how is it that every Wednesday night you have 3,000 people at prayer meeting? How do you get 3,000 people at prayer meeting? He said, it's simple. Because God answers prayer. Now, I don't know if I said the illustration right, but this is it. If people knew that when these people pray, you come to this church and the prayers are answered, do you think they'll come? What do you think? I think so. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You couldn't keep them out, could you? It'd be just like Jesus at Capernaum. There wouldn't be room enough. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, praying really has two parts. Praying has the part of asking. But you know, the Bible, Jesus said the other part of praying is receiving. Amen? Now, I think that's pretty important. Don't you? They ought to both go together. What we pray for ought to be very clearly evidenced by the answer to that prayer. Amen. I don't think anybody would think about walking out those doors on prayer meeting if they really believed that what Jesus said is true. That whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Why would you leave when you have that great promise and you have the teaching of the Bible that the first order priority of the church, and now you know why the priority of the church, right, is prayer. And we have the principle, the power of unity. And we have the principle of faith, the faith of others, that we can rely upon and we can count on. And then we certainly will recognize that, wow, man, God answers prayer. Now, that's a pretty sobering thought, though. That is a sobering thought. Now, churches go up and down in spiritual power. But a church ought to be such that when people give a needed prayer request, people pray and God answers. I've said to people at over different times that have been unemployed, I say, they say, you know, I need a job. And I said, well, you know what? If you really want a job, what you need to do on Wednesday night is raise your hand and say, I'm unemployed, I need a job, please pray for me. And I said, I've said this to many people, I think that if you do that, and you really have people, and you really want God to give you a job, and you really, you know, need it, and you have are willing to earnestly share that, wow, I think you'd get a pretty quick answer. Pretty quick answer. And I'm sure many people have found that to be true. And I think that's just an illustration of what a prayer meeting is all about. So we have a couple thoughts here. You say, well, you know what? I'm not very close to God. So prayer isn't really very important to me. You say, you know, I got a bad spirit. I'm always looking for something to pick at. Got a bad spirit. You know, I don't even read my Bible at home. Not much. You know, I got something in my life and I'm just plain said no to God. I would expect not too many answers from that prayer meeting. I'd expect not too many answers. Amen? I wouldn't expect too many answers. But let me tell you what, when the people of God are right with God, I will guarantee you there will be answers. And there will be miraculous answers. And there will be consistent, wonderful answers to prayer. And that's the bottom line of any church, is prayer meeting. Because God's the only one that can do it. You know, if you believe in the fact that only God can do it, and you want God to work, and you want souls to be saved, and you want God to do great things, you want to share the burdens with others, and you want to see their prayers answered, you know, be right with God and come out to prayer meeting, and don't miss it. And don't miss it. And expect that when we share a prayer request, that God's going to work. You know, we change prayer groups around here. But you know, and sometimes I hate to change prayer groups. You know why? Because once in a while, I get with a group of men. And when we pray, we meet with God. And you look forward to go into that group. You look forward to that time of prayer because you know that the people in your group mean business. And you know that they know how to get a hold of God. And you know that they came to pray. And they came to in unity. Sometimes we would just say, okay, what can we really agree on tonight about God and that prayer request? What prayer request can we really join our hearts together? And someone will say such and such, and then we'll say, yeah, that's it. We're going to really pray for that and see God work. Boy, I tell you what, our missionaries need us to be praying for them. Oh, man, they need us to be praying for them. And we need to be praying for our church, amen? And we need to be praying for these precious souls who need to be saved. We need to be praying. We need to be praying. Why should you come to prayer meeting? I hope you're convinced. I hope you're convinced. and that you will make it a practice that you'll never skip prayer unless you just can't. Amen. But even then, you'll pray with all your heart wherever you are. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity for us to emphasize why we're here. And now, Lord, we've shared requests. We've heard needs. We've heard great spiritual needs. We've heard great physical needs. We've heard the burdens of people. And there's others that haven't been mentioned that are on the list. Our missionaries need us. And Lord, we're in a spiritual battle. And new believers need us to pray for them. And we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for our church. We need so many needs that we have that we need you to answer. And so, Lord, meet with us even tonight in a special way as we go to prayer. Pray that these young people, that they'll be serious about prayer. Pray even for little ones, that they'll come to prayer group and they will sense that this is important and that they need to exercise their faith as well. And so, Lord, use this time. We pray for those who can't pray because they haven't prayed the big prayer. They haven't called out to Jesus Christ to come into their life and be their Lord and Savior, and to come into their life and give them a new life, and give them a victory over sin, and to trust Christ as their Savior. Lord, help them to come to that first step of prayer, of trusting Jesus even tonight. And so bless now this time of prayer and each one who's come. In Jesus' name, amen.